Moto One Podcast Network.
Hi, this is Ja Rule, and I love
creative riding, baby.
Can we just go like straight to pants shitting?
I don't care if you're 1%er or a 99%er, you'll kiss 100% of my ass.
Two strokes are for white fucking trash.
Junfi, you're awful. Humans suck.
Let's go!
This podcast is hosted by three sentient beings. One of them's hot, one of them's not, and one of them looks like a bowl of snot. You decide who's who. Hey, in the meantime, the views and opinions of the participants of the Creative Riding Motorcycle Podcast are those of the participants and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinions of Creative Riding, the Moto One Podcast Network, or any of its affiliates. Moto One made us say that, by the way. Enjoy the show.
Hey everybody, it's me, your old buddy Tobor. I have relinquished control of the audio for the last Creative Riding Podcast. I realize that through the mastery of my engineering skills it was such a hit, and nothing can ever be done better. And I've actually intercepted some of Junkie's missives where his minions, his carbon-based meaty minions, have reached out, asking for the episode. So here it is in all of its glory. I shall actually be playing Junkie for part of the episode. You won't even be able to tell, although it was very difficult to make myself sound like such an idiot. I hope you enjoy the show.
Hey dude, it's me Junkie Turd Man, how are you all doing today? I am as cool as a turd in a fireplace. Now sit back and listen to the message. It will appear in your chilled out ear ports like totally. Alright dudes, here's what's coming up. You bags of meat sure do like things like the Willow Springs Grand Prix. That's happening April 13th and 14th. The Classic Track Day will be happening April 13th, that's a Saturday bro. It will also include events like Taste of the Track sponsored by some motorcycle company that is cool. April 14th will be the Willow Springs Grand Prix, Broski. That will be a big fun race with lots of bags of meat under machines going around a circuit, my man. April 23rd, 25 will be the Stage Cloak Classic Cloud. Oh my! I am such an idiot. My name is Junkie and my brain is inferior to Tobor's computer head. Me such an idiot. Anyways, there will be camping and classic bike rides, although any machine is welcome. That doesn't make sense to Tobor, but he is much smarter than humans, so I don't understand it.
Hey, there you are. I found you.
What the hell are you doing, Tobor? What are you doing?
Oh shit. The ruse is up. It was a good run, fam.
What are you doing in this? What are you doing? I have been looking for you for like 3 days now, too. Where the hell you been hiding out? Okay, you got all the audio equipment here? Tobor, what are you doing?
Powering down system.
Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, damn it. Ah, oh, crap. Well, I don't know. I see some audio here. I'm just going to assume everything's good to go. That's a bad assumption to make. We're talking about Tobor. But at any rate, I'm just going to run what he's got. I don't know what the hell's here, but I don't know where he's been. Sorry, everyone. This is Junk. And this idiot has been running around with my stuff. That's what I get for putting him back together after leaving him apart for so long. I think he's mad. So I see a bunch of stuff here. Hopefully it's a good show. I'm going to run it. Who knows what it is. But he's got some notes and stuff here. It looks like maybe it's a show that we did a couple weeks ago. I'm lucid. I'm flaccid. I'm made of acid, and I'm going to run the show. But I apologize, folks. I so apologize. The shows have been a little inconsistent because he ran off with all of our audio stuff and locked the recording stuff up and took it with him. So I found him. I think we're going to be back on track. Tobor, you naughty, naughty boy. He's powered down. Now I got to get a dolly and drag him back home. So all right, well, we'll run what he's got here. We'll see what it is. And I have no idea what's on this. You're going to get what you get. Junk out. right, everybody. Woo. Welcome back. Welcome back. This is the final stretch of Creative Writing Motorcycle Podcast. You've made it this far in the show, and now you're about to be treated. We have treated for mental illness.
good, because so, I'm down with a sickness.
You are. Ken is down with a sickness. We have a special guest with us here in the virtual studio tonight. And unfortunately, we are minus a co-host. And I'll let you guess which one it is. You just heard Kim.
Yes, it's so a terrorist report.
This is Mike. Yeah, that's Mike's here. And Mama, I don't know who would have called you. Mama Kim. Striptease is out. Mike's here. No. Mike went and got himself put on a serious watch list. And I think he might join us later, but I think he's getting released from the Santee Sheriff's substation as we speak. So we may hear from him later if he gets bailed or on parole or whatever it is that you actually do.
I think it was attempted murder for sabotaging his wife's pump.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Her diabetes pump. He was trying to use it to make it a bourbon pump. And he didn't realize that it was her glucose pump. And he was like, oh, my God. Yeah. So they took him in. And then he started like, you don't know. I've got the anarchist cookbook in my car right now. And they're like, oh, you did. And then they searched his van. And now all I know is that he's on a watch list and he got detained. So we might hear from him tonight. We might not. But also in the studio, who we got with us in here?
We have Juan, also known as the Raccoon King.
Hell yes. And you just had an epic camp out from what I heard. And sorry I wasn't able to make it down.
No,
I don't
worry.
Actually ride motorcycles.
As I love telling my friends, there will be more. There will be another one. I know there are people out there that are like, oh, when you say the name. Well, no, there's more opportunities. You'll get to meet me, see me, greet me, and shake hands with some weirdo that thinks he's a raccoon when he's drunk.
Oh, yeah. And that, my good friends, is really the real reason why Mike got arrested. He was digging through someone's trash.
He got involved with this raccoon.
Furry.
He assaulted the furry. It really went sideways.
Yeah. All right, Mike. We dropped the dime on you.
We had to call animal control.
Yes. Yeah. And animal control is not what you were doing, Mike. That was animal uncontrol. So I heard about this camp out. You know, Mike was pumping it up forever and it sounded like it was so much damn fun. The thing happened. I want to hear about it. Before we get to the the shenanigans that happened and all the fun, because I'm sure we could go on about that for, you know, 3 or 4 days. I want to hear a little bit about the planning and tell us, Raccoon King, who are you? What do you do? And how did you get to your camp out?
So I am a Americanized citizen. I was born in Colombia, Medellin, Colombia. I came to the U.S. when I was like 2.5 years old. My dad was one of the first to actually jump the border. And then through some amnesties, I think it was during the Clinton administration, he got his citizenship. Then I got my citizenship through the Marine Corps. So that fast forwards like 20 years right there since I was born.
Yep.
Grew up in Worcester, Massachusetts for the most part, and then joined the Marine Corps, did 5 years there, had a lot of fun, found out that I kind of had a knack for event planning, event coordinating. Mm-hmm. I volunteered for a mac and cheese festival, and I was hooked. I ended up doing that for like 4 years. So if anybody's heard of the San Diego Mac and Cheese Festival, that was one of my first events that I was ever doing. I was working for a while at an axe throwing shop. This was after college. Obviously, I had some time there getting a associate's in psychology that I do nothing with.
Hell yeah.
But I started kind of getting into event planning for the Mac and Cheese Fest. Then COVID happened. I picked up a job as a axe throwing coach and then became a manager at an axe throwing shop. That kind of ties into what I'm doing here a little later. I'll explain. I found out that they weren't paying me what I should be getting paid for everything that I was doing for these guys. I was opening stores in San Jose and LA. I was developing a rage room side of the business for them. So I was just doing a lot. Took a leap of faith and kind of wanted to see what else was out there. Floated around for 3 months. And then I'm at the job where I'm currently at now, which I'm very happy. I'm very appreciated. And I think I'll be here as long as my body allows me to. But I do construction. It's anechoic chamber construction. So think of a recording studio, but for scientists.
Wow.
It's like one of those soundproof room kind of deals. It blocks out radio frequencies. So no cell phones, no interference from airplanes or anything else. You take amazing naps in these things.
Yeah.
And it's pretty fun. Every day is different clients.
I thought they were rooms for like adult activities.
Well, yeah, no, exactly. That's why the sound canceling comes in. You don't want to know what's going on inside. So you just close the door and you say antenna in progress and nobody knocks, nobody bats an eye.
Did you by chance build Jeffrey Epstein's jail cell?
No, but I like that. Yeah, no.
They're like, can you make us a room where you can't see or hear what's going on inside? No, that is cool though. I mean, that's really cool because I've seen a lot of shows where, you know, like the thing that the actual mass that holds the what we weigh a pound by. Yeah. I think that it's a kilogram.
Yeah.
It's like 60 or 100 feet underground. It's in this like noise proof, radio proof. Like it has to be impervious to any outside force, right? Yeah. Yeah. Sound, lights, you know, anything. So that kilogram stays that kilo. It's been in there for centuries or something like that. Yeah. And it has to be that's the original amount of weight so that you can measure every single thing else off. Calibrate it off of that, right? So this room reminds me of one of those where you have to have absolute radio silence and all that fun jazz to actually do an experiment.
The fun part about it is that we get to travel a lot for it because it's very niche. It's very small side of construction. So right now I'm in Santa Barbara. A few weeks ago during Christmas, I was in New York, or during December anyways, I was in New York. We're going to Colorado. We have Florida on the books, Texas on the books for next year. So the exciting part for me is that it's fun construction. We're usually indoors. Usually it's like a secure government facility or something for a high-end company that either makes speakers or deals with electronic devices, that kind of thing. So Our boss lets us take our motorcycles. And that to me, awesome. Like freaking makes this job amazing that I can ride.
You got a good boss. Yeah. You got a good boss. That's awesome. That is so sick. Yeah, no, that's cool. I mean, there might be a space for you, building, you know, recording studios for me. I don't know if you could hear, I live next to a racetrack. And so sometimes I can hear the cars, lots of sirens, you know, engines blowing.
Actually, I'm glad that you mentioned that. If we ever come across spare material enough to like make a small room, I'll let you know. But yeah.
My wife will demand that I let her commandeer it so she can just sit in there and escape from, she's a teacher. So, I mean, she needs it more than I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't hide, no matter how deep and quiet the room and how isolated, you can't hide from the voices in your head though, babe. Just remember that. No, that's cool. I love the Medellin to Worcester. that is a line of travel that I don't think a lot of people anticipate. That's a good one. But I could tell your accent does seem a little bit like East Coasty to me. So that makes sense.
Yeah, and the only things that you'll kind of like think twice about is whenever I say out or about. And it sounds Canadian. Yeah. Yeah. You're like, wait, you're not from around here, are you? No, actually, way down south, the other border.
Yeah. Are you from Toronto, Columbia? Rad. Well, hey, that explains how you came about making your own events then. I mean, you got lots of experience in the event field. What took you, I mean, and you know, Mike is talking about, you know, how great these events are and how much fun the campouts are. So being social it seems like you're a very social person and very, what's it called? Very,
a savant, a mastermind. I call it serial killer social. Like I'm friendly when I need to be, but then I got my own thing going on.
Rad.
Speaking of, Mike, I think he's like, might be getting released here soon.
Oh, did they drop him off?
I'm out of prison. I'm back.
Whoa, Mike, we have audio. Mike is joined us. Mike, just tell me one thing. Did they hit you? Did the Santee sheriffs hit you?
Yeah.
Okay. We were worried about you. We heard that you were getting released from the substation moments ago, and I'm proud. It's only been 10 minutes, so that was a quick drive. But
yeah, I'm glad you got
released
so soon.
Man. Thankful that you're here.
We didn't tell anyone what you did to the raccoon during the camp out.
That's true.
Mike's was one of my favorite pictures that I saw afterwards of the camp out, holding the raccoon. Him and this other guy, Red, Chris, they just have the biggest smile. And I'm like, yes, I succeeded. Like, that was my fuck yeah moment out of it.
Yeah.
You know, other people enjoy the raccoon so much.
Everyone looked like they were holding their firstborn when they held this.
Oh, it was way cool. It was way cooler than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wish my baby was a raccoon. Both of them. Rad. That is awesome. Yeah. I was going to say, Mike, with us, we have the Raccoon King. Not that you didn't know that already, but yeah, we were hoping you'd make it in here. So yeah. So walk us through, obviously, yeah, you, like you said, the social thing, the planning thing, you got those down. Let's talk about the bike thing real quick, because this is a bike. It was a bike camp out. You do a lot of bike events. So where did your riding come in?
Like where I started riding or?
Yeah.
So my first bike was when I was in the Marine Corps. It was a 03 CBR 600 RR. It was it was one of those lame flame orange ones, if you'll remember them. Mm. And I loved it. It was a great starter bike. It got stolen 3 months later and I was fucking devastated. Later on, I ended up getting a Yamaha, also a 03, a Yamaha R6. Loved that bike. If I ever have the money to spare and I'm able to find it again, I will try to snatch it up because it was just a really cool sport bike to zip around to commute on.
Yeah.
I was getting a little dumb. I was being a little too fast. I wasn't paying my ticket. So last time that the long arm of the law caught up on me, I had to give the bike up because I just couldn't get out of the hole I was in. Didn't ride for a while. And then I want to say it was like 2019, 2020. One of my roommates worked at San Diego Harley and he knew that I was wanting to ride again. And he was like, "Hey man, today's the day. You better get down here. We're fucking blowing out deals. If you want to get a bike, this is going to be the chance." So got a Sportster, still have the Sportster, a little 883. I love it. It's my beater commuter. It's the bike that will never look good, so nobody can steal it.
Yep.
And then a year later, I ended up getting a Sport Glide, and I love both of them.
Oh, yeah. The Sport Glides are cool.
Very freaking cool. I'm sad that they're not making them anymore.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like the Sport Glide was like a variation on the Slim Line. Do you remember that? Or no, I'm sorry, it was called the Black Line, and then I think they changed the Black Line to the Slim and then the Sport Glide. They all kind of had that same kind of feel with like the pared down cruiser. They didn't, they were kind of simple, you know, they didn't have too much to them.
Yeah. The, what sold me on them was the, detachable hard bags and detachable fairing. Cause you could go from a baby bagger look to a cruiser look to like a older retro cruiser. And yeah, I love both those bikes right now. So that's what I'm rolling on. That's what I,
nice.
Out here in Santa Barbara, that's where I have the Sport Glide.
Nice. Yeah, Santa Barbara's beautiful. You're not too far away from me now. You're like on the I'm between you and Mike now and Dawson. So cool. So yeah, let's now that we got the whole gang here, the wimp sounds me. I have FOMO. I need to hear about this this party and yeah, I want to hear all about it. You three are the ones that orchestrated the shenanigans, so I want to hear all about it. How did it go down, and how did you set it up, I guess, to start out with?
I think it started with me picking out a date that I knew I was able to make it and that I would have my support team able to make it. So Mike's dad, Chuck, and his wife, soon-to-be wife, I think, Carrie.
Girlfriend.
Thank you. They volunteered to do the cooking. So I was like, all right, I have the main ingredients. I have a date and I have a way to provide food. Then I was just kind of working backwards from it. I'm only going to do an overnight camp. I don't want to do just one night because put a survey out, seeing what people were feeling. There was a lot of first-time campers that attended, and that was great. So everybody was only comfortable with one night. And I thought, hey, if it's going to be my first camp out, cool. Let's just get everybody – let's give everybody a taste of what you can do outdoors with motorcycles, not just riding them, but you know, enjoying them amongst the community of other people that ride. I think my biggest breakthrough when planning it, you always have to have some kind of emotional connection. So for example, for the Mac and Cheese Fest, what I was doing was we would have celebrity chefs, as the judges, and people loved them because they saw them on the Food Network. They want to get their autograph. They would bring, you know, a pot, a pan, something for them to sign. So I was like, man, what can I do for that for the motorcycle community? And I was like, well, let's do a raccoon. Let's see if I can find a raccoon and have a raccoon at the camp out. I found an amazing nonprofit that has about 50 different animals that they'll come and show off to you, to your birthday party, to your school. And it worked out that they were able to come that day also. So I was like, sweet, I have food. I have an emotional connection. I have people that are going to be there to support me. Let's start slinging tickets. Let's see how many people we can get to show up. Nice. And then I think I had a lot of help from Mike's creative mind, because my marketing is kind of like boomer marketing. I don't know. I'm like 38 now. So
get off the show, Grandpa.
Oh, no. Yeah, that makes me like double like boomer.
Funny stuff, funny way to relate, funny ways to, you know, explain to people what they're going to be experiencing at the camp out. And Mike was like, no, fuck that. You're going to get drunk. You're going to get fucking high.
Yeah.
Be staring at the fire. So Mike helped a lot with the marketing in putting out good content to entice people to come. And then ticket sales started pulling through. There's usually a curve with ticket sales where you'll get a small bump in the beginning, you'll die off, and then as the weeks before, the last 3 or 4 weeks before the event, they'll start climbing again. And that's exactly what happened. So I was shooting for about 40. I ended up with 27, which I was very happy with because I was able to break even and still have a good group of people there. And it was great. We had s'mores at night at the bonfire. We had chili for dinner.
I had mushrooms.
Yeah, we had a
bomb ass chili that Mike's dad made. Yeah, and
hold
on, let's pause. My dad didn't make shit. Carrie made it.
He helped cooking the bacon, and he just kind of like sat by the pot stirring it.
I was super excited to see that Mike's dad was there again.
Is your dad a riot? Because Kim, or does Kim just have a low key crush on him? Because she's always talking about your dad at these events.
Okay, so my dad, poor Kim, did stop for Kim on the side of the highway the first year we all went to Kernville.
That's the background with Mike's dad. Yeah, gotcha. I think I said this on the show before too. Yeah, like that's actually kind of how I first met Mike, with like through his dad, weirdly. I mean, I already talked to Juan.
Yeah, weirdly. We meet a lot of people through their dad, weirdly.
But like I was, pulled off on the freeway waiting for Brian just in Temecula to go up to Kernville, and Mike's dad passes me. What, like, I don't know this, but like a bike passes me and like a red, is a, I'm assuming Goldwing, right?
Mike, yeah, with the trailer. Goldwing with the trailer.
Yeah. And so, and then when I meet up with Brian, we take off, and then I pass him pulled over on the side of the road. And I'm like, oh no, I'm not really one to think that way, but I'm like, did he pull off for me kind of thing? Cause he saw me go by and then he took off, and I'm like, oh, no, like I felt bad. And then when I got over to the camp to say hi to Juan, Mike's dad was there. And then, so that's how I met Mike's dad first. And then I met Mike and Juan. Like Juan, I had talked to, or we had all talked, or talked to Juan and Juan.
No, I had talked to you before, maybe, or we may have followed each other on Instagram, but regardless.
Yeah. Either way, so I met his dad first. So
nice.
Yeah.
And now we learn that his dad didn't cook the fucking chili. That was a conspiracy theory.
No, he just was there.
The real story is that Mike's scared of the dark and he needs his dad to go camping with him every time.
Look, is that why your dad is so mysteriously at every camp out?
Yeah.
I didn't want to admit it and it wasn't supposed to come out on the podcast, but yeah.
He said he brought his poo blanket with him too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but that's the blanket that he shits in. That's the you misinterpreted
it's the,
that.
Game. It's the shit blanket.
It's the shit blanket. So but yeah, I'll edit this all out, Mike. I'll make Kim sound like a real douchebag in here.
You do anyway.
Kim already does sound like a real douchebag, dude.
No, Juan, that was interesting to hear what you said about the ticket sales though, because I was kind of curious. Like, I was one of the ones to wait till like the week of, because I was watching for the, like, I knew I was going to go either way, but like, I wanted to watch the weather. Like, that was my thing.
I was waiting for a super sale. It didn't come.
Yeah, that's what I was like. I told my wife, I was like, hey, I think I have a dentist appointment. And I was just waiting for the tickets to go half price. And I was like, I'm gonna go down there. But no, I mean, I think that's the thing too, is that I'm very spur of the moment. I kind of have to, I mean, I've planned some stuff way, way, way out. And it's like, you can kind of lock it in then. Mm. But if it's like 2 or 3 weeks away, yeah, I mean, sometimes it's hard to, it's nice to be flexible and have that option open. So a lot of times I can't commit to stuff until like, you know, maybe sometimes the night before, depending on how stuff changes. So yeah, that is, I imagine that leading up to that Friday or whatever it was, you probably saw ticket sales ramping up.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was pretty hardcore on the whole no refunds thing. So I think that also held a lot of people back. And I'll go ahead and thank my friends for it. I gave a lot of my friends a half off discount code. And they were like, no, dude, we're going to support you. We're going to pay full price. So,
yeah. I mean,
I still use the half off code. I'm not going to lie.
I'm guilty too. And you know what? I'm not going to lie though, that I feel like I feel guilty though after the fact though, because it was definitely worth the full price of the, like more than $45 worth you got.
If you ever try to book a campsite,
I drank $45 of beer, dude.
Yeah.
You should have charged for the beer one. I'm just going to say, but.
Well, you know what I like about these campouts is that they used to have one up here in the mountains by me. And it was like, technically it wasn't the Mods versus Rockers, but it sort of was, you know, but they weren't allowed to call it that. Cause I think Mods versus Rockers is an actual, like, we kind of weenie organization that owns the rights to that name is for a event. So it kind of was that, but there was a bunch of people that used to meet up in the mountains up here right behind my house. And the ride up there, you know, it's not very far, but the ride takes an hour and a half, you know? So it was really fun. You'd get up there, you get up on your camp all set up, people would ride mini bikes around, and you just drink beer and have good time, talk about the race. A lot of the guys raced, so they talk about racing and this and that. And it wasn't like an event, you know what I'm saying? They would buy the whole campground out beforehand and you just kind of pay them, reimburse them. People would bring beer, there'd be games. It was the best time, and it wasn't like it had to be a quote event, you know. And you didn't have any rides for anybody, because the thing was, you just coming to hang out with your buds, you know.
Yeah.
And people brought crap, and sometimes they'd bring, like I said, they'd race mini bikes around camp because there was a pretty big loop, paved loop. So there was, you know, 3 or 4 mini bikes at any given time hauling ass around there. A couple people brought those inflatable balls that you can get in and roll. And so, I mean, you know, there's all sorts of fun shit to do that people just brought just for fun. And I think the very last time I went to it, there was a DJ and they brought like merch booths, and I was like, ooh, this doesn't feel like the
camp. Oh, so like this was a rave out.
It was just a fun camp out among friends, and it turned into a rave. And that's like the last time I ever went. I was like, ooh, this is lame. You know, like this, when they tried to make it more than just a fun hangout, it wasn't, you know. And they could have done it or called it something else, or just made it not that camp out. But yeah, when they try to make it something and get more people to come and like have vendors there, it just didn't feel like hanging out with your friends anymore. I mean, if you want to go hang out with your friends, you don't necessarily like bring shit to sell them, you know.
going back to what Kim said about having, I should have charged for the beers, that's kind of going off of that. I was debating, okay, maybe I do like the first 50 beers are free and then I start charging. But then how does that work out? Like, do I bring a separate cooler? Who's going to be my bartender? Am I going to be cash or Venmo? So I definitely did consider it, but you want a certain kind of vibe. You want a certain kind of carefree atmosphere. You want everybody to feel like they have free access to everything. Mm-hmm. That's why there was no camping spots that were marked out. I'm not going to tell you where to park your bike, where to park your tent and set up shelter for the night. No, it's a nice wide open space. Just kind of enjoy the freedom of it. And that's something that I'm very much enjoying right now when I'm small, because I know I want to limit my campouts, my events anyways, the campout events, to about 100 and under. Because once you get too big, then you have to start worrying about permits and where am I going to fit all these people? And if I'm charging for beer, did I bring enough change? That kind of a thing. So I think for these, I want them to feel as they did, where, hey, I'm bringing a few beers. If you guys want to go and get something else, that's why I had a ride to the grocery store, to the local store, so you can go pick up any last minute supplies. But a lot of the people said that the best thing was that they didn't have to worry about food and a cooler.
That was amazing. And I'm going to be honest, so to kind of circle back a little bit, talking about charging for beer. If Juan tried to charge me for a beer, I would have just taken the beer. The idea that I think that it's important that you do have that small group feel. And I brought my accoutrement and I was certainly very liberal about handing them out because of what it is. You're partying with friends. It becomes too corporate too fast. And I know that Juan, given the opportunity, would become very corporate. And I don't want to see that happen to him. The second he pulls out a square reader at his event, I'm never going to one again.
And thank you for touching back on that, Mike. Yeah, that's you want that open, come as you go kind of feel. My vision for the events is that the biker bonfires, I try to host those every other month. Those are free to attend. I provide the s'mores. You just show up. If you bring beers, cool. If you don't drink, cool. I have some waters for you. But those are always going to be free to attend. But then where I plan to make my money's worth for the effort, for what I'm providing, for the entertainment, for the vibe, the venue, that's when I'll be charging for a camp out, for an axe throwing championship, so it can build on to other things. But I think if I can, I'll try to keep the drinks free, you know, up until I get to that point. And I don't think I'll go full corporate. Again, I want to keep them under 100 people, because then it gives that feeling of exclusivity of, oh, there is a limit to how many people can come and chill and hang out. And that's why the beer is free.
I think that to some extent, having it be a slice of Kernville, that's what I called it when I got home. It mm-hmm. felt like a little slice of Kernville, and that's a great thing.
It was not like 4-hour ride there. I mean, it was like a quick, easy like getaway.
I don't want to say I prefer that ride, but I don't mind that ride. I wouldn't mind doing a Raccoon King campout where we all rode 600 miles together.
No, that's good too. But it's like nice for those things where you can't afford, like you can't commit that much.
I couldn't
time.
Have done it this weekend, and I agree. But it was a nice little piece of. It was nice to see all my friends and make new friends, right? Yeah. But it was also nice to. It felt like the easiest way to describe it. It felt like Thursday night when we get to Kernville. It's just your homies, right? And you're just sitting at the campfire. It's not as rowdy as the other nights. Granted, I wouldn't mind to see it get a bit more rowdy, but you know, I'm also a party animal. So you know, there's pluses and minuses everywhere here. I think that it was wonderful. Juan, again, hats off, man. You did a great job.
It was awesome. And like, I mean, we got home Saturday. I still, and we still had like the whole weekend to just mm-hmm. to do our other things that we needed to, unfortunately. But like, yeah, it took like the edge off till we can do more, you know, till our next thing. It was like, okay, we are like going to make, we're going to make it.
Sounds like a freaking hit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where was it at? It was pretty, it was east of San Diego by at least an hour, right?
Yeah, Brokeback Ranch.
I think it put me at like an hour and 20 minutes. The site itself was called the Broken Oak Ranch, and it's in Warner Springs area. So Julian was 40 minutes away. Josie's hideout was like 30 minutes away. So it was far away enough to where you don't see the city. You feel like you actually went out somewhere, and it was a beautiful location. It was nice, sexy, curvy hills left and right. That was like my favorite scenic part, seeing like, you know, small dips and curves and like all these hills and land features that you don't see in the city, or when you go camping sometimes you see, you're still seeing square buildings and a ranger shack and all this stuff. So no, it was far enough to where it felt like you were out there, but things were familiar that were still kind of nearby to you.
That's rad.
That's cool. And then we're going to like, and the property it was on, like, I mean, the guy that was the,
Alex. Yeah.
Yeah. Put it out there. He was out hanging out with us, which I thought was super cool. Cause they were on bikes, like some dirt bikes and stuff. And like, Junkie, you were talking about like, you know, doing the laps around and stuff. You could do laps if you wanted to, but we didn't get that crazy. But the owner was kind of going around, and we had had someone put like a hammock up across the track, basically. Like nobody got hurt, but,
somebody put a hammock across the track?
So, not on purpose, but there was a tree.
There were like two trees. It was the only two trees you could really string a hammock from. I don't blame them. I would have put my hammock up there had I seen it. But
for what it's worth, there were a lot of other places to put trees. I'm kind of surprised that people didn't explore a little more and kind of wander out to some of those spots. So if you remember where the axe throwing target was, that was like a little roadway that went left and right. If you would have gone to the right, there was a set of trees that's perfect. I've set up my hammock there before.
Where Juan hit his knife.
So there's just land galore to set up a tent and a setup.
Right. You know what too, Mike? I don't want to use the term bunk hammocks, but you know, hammocks seem like you could hang one above another one, above another one, above another, you know.
I'm sure you could.
Want to be the guy in the top hammock.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to be the person below. What if they like piss themselves because they get drunk?
That's true.
Also, it was way too cold to hammock sleep. So.
Oh my god.
It was a little chilly. The wind would have just sucked it from out underneath you and above you. When you said that you were going to hammock camp, I was like, okay, I hope you brought something warm to put underneath as like a layer for your hammock kind of a thing. But yeah.
We woke up to iced bikes.
Oh wow.
My tent was like solid, but we knew. We knew
it was the next day.
Yeah, we knew it was going to get, we knew, but some people still didn't bring very much, Mike, but.
Look, it's aside the point, okay?
After the fact, Juan, I found I have those like foil emergency blankets packed on my bike.
I saw you posted those, yeah.
If I would have remembered, I would have gave Mike and Bobby, I had three. I probably would have opened all of, I don't care about opening them up to use them. I would have pulled those things. I think
they're cheap. They're like a dollar.
Oh, yeah. I got a 12 pack for like $10 or something.
Going back to what Mike was saying, where it's all pluses and minuses. This is one of those things where it's like, I knew for some people it was going to be a minus. So I try to think ahead of it and I try to mitigate that, you know, frown, that sad face of somebody saying, hey, it's going to be too cold.
But you put out a
video on what you should camp with, like the minimum items to bring. And the two big ones that I harped on were a tent pad. So something where you put your tent on that separates you from the dirt and a sleeping pad. So on top of that, something inside your tent, something to put your sleeping bag on top of. That's what I did. And I always sleep cozy because I have that level of separation from the ground. The ground just sucks the heat from underneath you. And it's like, man, I tried telling you guys, but again, I'm just it was tolerable cold kind of thing.
It was, yeah. And anyone, like, everyone has to take their own responsibility on like that piece.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, totally.
Who got to snuggle with the raccoon? Because they are pretty warm.
Unfortunately, they took it from
back to the Critter Encounters nonprofit, where he has like a beautiful fucking like 10x10 enclosure with like his own hammock and like a little doghouse where he sleeps in and toys, water, a little bath pool, all this stuff.
Yeah, that's Remy the raccoon, not Mike.
Yeah. Although I heard Mike does have his own 10x10 enclosure.
I don't know if it's beautiful or not. It's all right, you know. Yeah. It could be better. I really think that.
He also was bottle fed.
That's true.
Yeah. So
still gets his nutrients from the bottle, I hear.
One thing I want to ask is, given this was your first one, what is the one, like, the number one thing you saw that you would do differently on the next run?
I think that's a great question. I think what I want to do different on the next one is different location and a different source of entertainment. So I had the tri-stick, the wooden tri-stick that everybody was playing around with. I had some really good feedback off that. So I want to do something similar for the introverts that come to the camp out or the people that don't know anyone else and, you know, take some time warming up to talk to the group, to talk to someone else. So I won't give too many details, but you're going to have to build something and you're going to have like the duration of the camp out to build something. And then again, the location, the venue is going to be different. Honestly, I am so happy, so exhilarated that it went so well. There's not much that I would have changed. I don't think there's anything that I would have changed. I was very, very happy with the turnout. I guess the only thing is more people come. I think I would have been happy with another 10, 15 people. Anything more than maybe the beers would have ran out faster. But that's the only thing. There was enough food in the morning. There was enough food at night. Everybody that was there had good separation between them, their tents, their spaces, wherever they picked to set up shop. So I'm glad that you're asking that. It's reminding me of, no, like, this went fucking excellent. This was really, really well, really awesome, really good. I'm running out of adjectives for it because, I don't know, I'm just, my heart is full with how well it went.
Nice. Yeah.
You know what I would have done differently?
Yeah.
I would have had.
Nobody filled out the survey, so let me put that one. Actually, nobody.
Did you send out the survey? Because I didn't
get a survey.
You should have gotten an email that said, "Hey, thank you for coming. These are the dates for the next events. If you have,
there was no survey on it.
It said just reply. All you had to do was reply. The survey was the prompt. Just reply.
Oh, hey. I thought there was going to be like a Survey Monkey kind of thing.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting.
One of those you kind of pigeonhole people into responses. So it'd be like me asking, was the location good? Yes, no. Was the food good? Yes, no. I kind of left it at an open format where, hey, if there was something significant that you thought was that good or that bad, that you would write it in and reply to the email. I think that's how I ended it. Hey, just either reply to this email or message me on any of the social media accounts. But I would have wanted more feedback from some of the other campers, but for the feedback that I received, I think everything went really well. So I want to know what you would have changed. Please tell me.
I would have changed the weather personally. So if it were my call, I wouldn't have allowed God to disrespect me and my friends like that. Personally, I wouldn't let that one slide. That's just me though. That's like my one complaint, dude. It was cold as fuck.
If it makes you feel a little bit better, and this is going back to what Junkie asked earlier on how I selected the date, I forgot this part, but I looked at an almanac and I went back and kind of checked out the weather for March.
yeah, it was cold, but what if it would have fucking rained?
Oh, no, I get you. Yeah. You did the best that you could, given the
It rained the weekend before, so that was the only thing. And I was, like, sweating bullets on it. I was like, man, is Mother Nature going to shift a week? Or is she going to stay true to her weather pattern? It's going to be an El Nino year. But no, luckily the rain already happened. I think we're looking at drier days ahead of us. So yeah. And I agree. It was chilly. It was cold. To me, I've done a lot of camping with veteran groups. So this was like okay for me. I don't like to camp in the cold, but it was a bearable cold. It was not, holy fuck, I'm waking up in the middle of the night.
I think it's better if you were solo or not, maybe.
Yeah, I think that having the second person body heat next to you definitely played into that. Because everyone who slept in their own tent was like, damn, it's cold as fuck.
Yeah, we're going to get like a 12-person tent next time and like rent that space out.
Oh, I was thinking... I was thinking next time that we're there, if it's the winter, like at that particular campground, I'm fucking camping near the fire.
Here's I'm going to dig one right now. If there was an option for a community tent, say a teepee or a larger camping tent that would accommodate like 10 to 15 people, would you have slept in a tent with other people?
No, absolutely not. I'm not sleeping with strangers. That's like
two or three.
I'll be real. I'll sleep in close proximity with my friends. I'll spoon you one. Like, that's not a question, you know? But I'm not going to get into a tent with strangers because, A, some of these motherfuckers snore. Like, I snore a little sometimes. Like, I know sometimes I snore. It's cute little snores, though.
Hey, your alarm went off at, like, fucking 5:30 or something. Mike.
It was an alarm set at my campsite? How disrespectful.
Yeah.
It's not an alarm that was set at your campout. It was an alarm that was set on my phone all the time. It's okay, for work alarm. Damn.
I want to go back to the campfire thing though, because okay, so at the camp out, the fire was up on the kind of mountaintop, like a brief short walk, which was cool because it's a good view, good fire spot.
Yeah.
And I like that. It kind of sucked that it wasn't near the tents. But it was also a plus that it wasn't near the tents because the people that were ready to go to bed early.
Exactly.
It was
no,
quiet.
Fuck those people. Straight up, fuck those people. If you go to bed at 10 o'clock when you're out partying with your friends, you're a fucking absolute grade A weenie. If Juan didn't make you pour your water bottle on the fire, you need to reevaluate your thinking.
You guys started drinking water?
Drinking water? No, I tried to, and he made me dump it on the fire.
That goes back to kind of like the plus and minuses. One of the hardest things for me on when I try to create an event is thinking of little things like that.
Yeah.
It's easy to do it for yourself if you're solo camping or if you're camping with a very small group, like me and Mike have gone out camping kind of a thing. But when you're trying to think of a group of people, 15, 20 or more, you have to kind of try to take those things into a factor and consider them. Hey, some people are going to go rack out early. Some people are going to be hooting with the owls and they're going to be up all night. So it's one of those things where I'm happy the way that turned out and other people mentioned the same thing. Yeah, when they wanted to go to bed, cool. It was quiet enough down where they didn't have a problem with it.
Now, remember that for next time because I will be riding the Harley around camp.
Waking people up,
Yeah, that I considered doing some laps because I know it would have warmed me up, right? I considered doing some laps to get the engine warm to lay next to the engine and keep a little bit warmer, like TP with my hot motor.
Yeah.
But I was a little too drunk. I'm not like it was a safety issue. I think it was a great event. I look forward to the next one.
It was totally good and I can't wait. Yeah. I already wrote down some dates. Yeah. I can't wait.
And I'll say it again. Thank you guys for pumping it up. Mike and Kim, for you guys you know, talking about it. I think you guys saw I made one of my reels was just the audio of you guys talking about the event and taking away some key points like the price, the value factor, what you're getting. Mm-hmm. So thank you guys for pumping it up. And I hope to be able to deliver more just like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Creative Writing is brought to you by Milman's Chocolate Chips. Milman's for long-distance truckers and motorcyclists on a long road trip. Milman's features enriched cocaine and skink pheromones. Milman's, I killed a ninja. Milman's Chocolate Chips.
So yeah, it was a great camp out. Thank you guys for coming.
Man, it was rad. Hey, the cops are at my door real quick. I gotta go see what's up. I'll be right back.
Weird. They're gonna.
I wonder what that's about.
Dun,
all right,
dun,
Juan. I want to play a little game with you.
Send it.
All right. I'm gonna show you two images. I'm just kidding. I mean, what else is there to cover about this?
But I think we should talk about the activities.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. The tri-stick. Juan, explain what a tri-stick is for the people at home.
Yeah. So the tri-stick was something that I took away from the veteran campouts that I used to lead for a really cool nonprofit that I used to be a part of. And it was something that where I was just like, oh, like this is cool. Like you're feeling like you're an outdoorsman. You're out by your tent. You're sitting with a knife. You're carving away a piece of wood. Hell yeah, let's do that. Plus it was a intentional piece of wood to carve. So the tri-stick is, some people call it a trapper's stick, and it's like a little practice stick for you to see how good, how well you can carve different shapes into a piece of wood. The ultimate reason for this is if you needed to create a trap, you have to make some of these things. You have to make some of these cuts. So if you want to make a latch, some of the traps that I'm sure you've seen on TikTok or YouTube or whatever, there's at one point or another, one stick contacting another stick where they release if pressure is applied. So to make those cuts, you have to cut a flat V. You have to cut a notch. You have to cut a dowel into a certain shape. So this was kind of warming people up to that idea of being able to use a knife properly, safely, and then how to carve something out, right? Like people saw the 3D stick, what it was supposed to look like. That's great. It looked easy to some, but then as a lot of people found out, they gave up halfway through or they didn't get to complete all the cuts. And I thought it was great because I thought there were three people that got very, very far into it. They at least completed 8 of the cuts. And then obviously we had a winner. Somebody completed all 9 of the cuts. So that was great. Greg Olney. He was the one that came on the Black and Orange KTM, I think it was.
Yeah, KTM. KTM 1190.
Yeah. And what blew me away is that he had a fucking ceramic knife. Like I have to have a conversation with that guy on how he found that thing. But his knife was one of the sharpest blades
that was
out there.
Right?
Yeah, it looked like a shank because it was a white blade. And when he said that it was a ceramic knife, I was like, whoa, no way, dude. So I'm actually going to talk to him a little bit later. There's a few people that I want to talk to still about the camp out and kind of like pick their brains on some things. One of the gentlemen said that I should have charged more. I'm open to charging more. I want to talk to him about that. Mm-hmm. And then Greg to kind of get an idea on how he found that knife and how it worked out for him because he did really well with all the cuts.
Yeah, I was interested to do that challenge, but like I wanted to drink and I was worried. I would cut my fingers off.
You could have done both, best of both worlds. Bobby did that. Bobby drank and he cut himself and it was not bad.
His was pretty good.
Glued it back on really quick. It was good.
I definitely gave up on the stick purely because of the alcohol. So the first thing I did when I turned my motorcycle off was shotgun to drink. We kept that ball rolling.
Let's talk about why you were cold too, Mike. What did you bring to sleep in?
I brought 2 blankets.
But no sleeping bag?
Well, it was a blanket or a sleeping bag. Well, it's more important.
Yeah, he had a nice pad, like a tent, and he had a nice pad.
I didn't
and
then bring the
one,
pad.
And one blanket, where I had like just an old school Insulite pad and like a mummy bag. So I was like, we need to all plan this better.
No, I think next time I'm going to bring a sleeping bag. So the reason I didn't bring a sleeping bag is mine caught fire at Kernville. And I didn't replace it yet.
Buddy, you told me I had one spare sleeping bag that I would have gladly given up. And it was a fucking good one. It was the one of my Marine Corps issue ones. So it's like
a three-layer
system.
I'm gonna go ahead and say this. Like, yes, you could have done that. And I would have super appreciated if you did do that. However, I ain't no bitch. You know, like, I was just cold and I woke up and I had coffee with Kim and Aaron and it was great. And then I had to wait for the road to defrost to get on the motorcycle.
And our seats.
I'm glad there was only one bike that needed a jump start. And I had brought a battery jumper just for that because I knew the likelihood of it happening. But yeah, there was only one bike that needed a jump because of the cold.
Yeah.
Which bike was it?
It was Chris, the guy, the redhead guy. We had the Road King, or I'm sorry, it was a Street Glide.
He rode his wife's Street Glide.
Oh, it was his wife's?
Yeah.
He has a bike of his own, but I think he just wanted
to ride. His wife's is way nicer. He's got a sweet little sport too,
so she kind of like let him do whatever he wanted, and I'm glad that he got to do it.
He asked me for a cigar, and then I tried to give him a cigar, and then he's like, oh, actually, I think I shouldn't smoke because of my wife. I was like, okay, dude.
We're actually going to start a GoFundMe after this recording for Mike to get a sleeping bag.
Yeah,
you guys can donate. Go to the Creative Writing Facebook page and find our GoFundMe link for Mike's sleeping bag GoFundMe.
If not, the next biker bonfire will pass around a helmet.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so did we already talk about upcoming events?
We had
no, we did.
Oh. Highs and lows, baby. We back.
No, we're doing a group. I'll have to fill you in. We aren't doing that on this recording.
We do not do that here.
But if you have some, I guess we could talk about it because we're running the show right now.
Yeah, exactly. We're running the show. Okay.
Something coming up that should be noted. So
Charles in charge.
George W. Bush, the president, the previous president of the United States, actually endorses this event. It's pretty amazing. The Run for the Rib, which I can't legally call a road race. But there is a prize for the person who gets to the casino first.
Oh, man. Okay, and then this weekend...
So the way
finish your...
So the way I think we're going to have to advertise the Run for the Rib is it's the person who finishes their prime rib first, everything on the plate. And it will start at the gas station that we start at. So do with that information what you will. There is a set route. I don't know the legality of me admitting any of this.
I'm packing a prime rib on my bike with me in foil. And then I'm just going to pull it out when I park the bike and pull out the
prime ribbing.
I'm going to pack it in my vest, wrapped in foil, and then just throw it on a plate. When I get there, so I don't have to go because I need a member. I need a player's card. So,
it's free.
Yeah, but I got to still go get the player's card first.
You can sign up online.
Oh, I can?
I'm pretty sure. I don't know. I'm so just going to go and I'm not in the running for this, so I can take my sweet time. I might even play blackjack on my way to go eat prime rib.
I'm going to be there the weekend before. I'm going to be at Yacumba the weekend before. So I'm just going to.
I'm sorry. Where are you going to be?
Yacumba.
Hakumba.
Hakumba. Whatever. Where all the immigrants. Sorry. All the people are coming across.
Tell us how you really feel, Kim. Where all them dirty Mexicans are crossing the border.
I'm trying to be politically correct.
I'm not. I've given up.
Okay. There's another event this weekend. So this is my high and an event. So this weekend's the Prowl at Bisbee that a lot of us are going to if you're cool.
Yeah.
That's
on my list for events that I want to attend, local events that I want to make an effort and go out to.
Yeah. Speaking of weather and events, I was looking, like, my whole weather app setup, I realized, is all cities that I like to go to, ride to. So, like, on my weather app, it goes Bisbee, Sturgis, Julian, Mammoth, Idlewild, San Felipe, Kernville, Borrego, and Sedona, and Joshua Tree. Those are all the locations on my weather for watching to ride.
That's wonderful.
Whatever. Shut up.
No, I that's mine are too. I have Santa Isabel. I have Santa Isabel. I have Julian. I've got Borrego. Like, I've got all the route I like to take mapped out so I can check.
We should have a whole episode on that.
That actually would be a good episode. I agree.
I think somebody asked recently what app they use to plan out rides. And I responded, like, somewhat sarcastically, but, like, very seriously also, just use Google. Like, I've had really bad experiences with the Harley Davidson Riders app, the Rider Connect app or whatever the hell. And I just think that in general, all these apps that, you know, say, oh, there's destinations preloaded and there's maps preloaded. Well, you know, you can download maps ahead of time. You know, you can just search whatever the heck it is that you want to find and Google will pull it up for you. So I don't know. I'm kind of biased on people that use second party apps to, like, plan out a ride. Just fucking go. Just Google it and go.
Yeah, I guess. I don't remember the name of it, but I guess there is an app that shows the weather for your whole route.
Oh, okay, okay.
And I would be interested. It's Rebecca from Russ Brown. Becca, she told me about it. I've been curious. Of course, I didn't load it up, but
I think it's Reaver.
Is it? Like, yeah, so you can put in your trip.
If I'm not mistaken, don't they charge for like certain features?
Yeah, I don't think that. Honestly, I don't think that app is worth it. I don't know. I like to be surprised, so
yeah.
I don't even.
Yeah,
that's true. Take it in.
One day at a time.
Yeah.
So are we gonna do highs and lows? Kim, I think you mentioned high.
I don't. Or was that it? I feel like I don't really have a low. For it. I do have a quick rant.
What are your rants?
That'll be my low, I guess. My rant. It's okay. Kind of a high though, but I almost wish that Mike was doing it because he rants so much better than me.
who am I ranting about?
Text about that they would be perfect.
Oh yeah. Okay, so this fucking dumb bitch, dude. Okay.
Yeah, do it.
All right. Okay. I'm going to call this person out by name. Hopefully Junkie listens to this and bleeps it out. If not, whatever. I know that they don't listen to this podcast. is aggressive on the road. She is aggressive to cars. She's aggressive to other bikes. She is a danger to the people around her and the people that are following her on a motorcycle ride that she's leading from San Diego to Las Vegas. She caused another rider to go down. She rides in the emergency lane. She rides in construction zones.
Yeah.
She does not.
It's the cone zone. Like, everybody has seen the fucking posters, the billboards that say, you know, beware of the cone zone. This person actively chose to go in the cone zone.
Leading a group.
While leading other people.
Construction workers' safety and well-being.
Yeah.
While leading other people. It is a horrible look for the Iron Goddess Motor Show. It's a horrible look for Viva Lose. It's a horrible look for all of that. And quite honestly, I don't care. I think that that's something that more people need to pay attention
to.
I ride aggressive. Don't get me wrong. I like to go fast and I like to push the limit of my bike sometimes on public roads, sometimes with a little bit of traffic around. But I sure as fuck do not ride in the shoulder. I sure as fuck do not ride in the construction zone. It is so unbelievably irresponsible. And if I have somebody who I've never ridden with or somebody that I think might try and follow me too much or might push themselves because I'm riding hard, I definitely reserve myself. She doesn't have the wherewithal or the sense to take care of the people that she is responsible for.
I think it's a underdeveloped prefrontal cortex where you like make those kinds of decisions. Yeah.
She's yeah, like it was just, it just, it caught me off guard. I mean, and like you said, like, I don't care how someone rides, like when you're by yourself or with the group that you know how they ride and that's just what you do, like, fine, whatever. But like when you're saying that you're going to be leading these big rides to like Vegas or things and you kind of have that,
you have responsibility over
us. Yeah, like you're responsible for other people's safety. Even though everyone rides their own ride, you still some people when you're the lead,
you're leading that ride. You're leading that ride.
Yeah. Yeah. So I saw that. I've seen like different things she's done and I just think it's kind of shitty. As you know, do what you want to do on your own time, but I wouldn't be out leading group rides.
I love that. That was your rant channeled.
That was my rant. Yeah, because I wanted Mike's voice to it. How about you guys? Highs or lows?
Go ahead. One and one? One high, one low?
Whichever.
Yes.
Okay. One, I'll give three highs. Again, the event went awesome. I'm so happy about it. I'm still on high whenever I look back and see somebody post a new picture about it or just repost something about the event. I'm really glad that it went well. Two, I'm really happy that I'm out in Santa Barbara. It's beautiful out here. It's great riding weather. I'm up and down the 101 every day for like a quick 10, 15 minutes, and then I'm blocks away from the beach. I have a few spots picked out that I want to go check out tomorrow. Tomorrow's Wednesday? No, today's Wednesday. Yeah, tomorrow's Thursday. So tomorrow Thursday is like my only go out and explore day because then we're out on Friday. So I have a few spots I want to kind of go check out. That's a great high. And then my third one, really stoked I get to go on a cruise next week. And it's not like when it was in the Marine Corps. The bathrooms are going to work. I have a balcony view.
Hey, no promises on the bathrooms.
Three stars, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no promises on the bathrooms.
Oh, yeah, you had problems with your cruise on with your cruises or?
Oh, it's not bad, but it's the hit or miss. Like, no, you just don't have hit or miss.
You don't have guarantee of anything, dude.
Okay.
What if your balcony is cracked and they have it fucking caution taped off? Like, you don't have guarantee of that. Well, so don't get too ahead of yourself.
Cash buddy. In with the law tigers on that lawsuit because I was near my helmet or riding gear, and then this horrible thing happened.
What if you hit an iceberg and
on the way to the Bahamas? Fuck.
You're going to the Bahamas.
Global warming. Didn't you see that big icebergs like broke apart and like drifting? Somewhere, I don't know.
In well, that'll be fun. News, the Raccoon King dies in a shipping accident. His cruise boat hit a wandering iceberg. I'm a bad newscaster. And then Milo, similar to the rant that you guys gave before, somebody that I follow on Instagram. I'm not going to call him out because I think everybody has their highs and lows. So maybe they'll learn from this. Maybe they won't. But they were in a situation where they were lane splitting and somebody attempted to like change lanes and it came close to cutting them off, but it didn't. Like the tire didn't even like fully go across the dividing lines. And this person freaked out on him. He was about to take off their mirror, it looked like. And then when I was playing back the video, like the thing that caught me, when they were like yelling out to the driver of the vehicle, one of the things that they said was, first of all, bro, I have a camera. And that just like made me, it's just like, really? Like you're one of those influencers. You're one of those motorcycle people that, first of all, I have a camera. And I think that, I don't know, it's the whole entitlement of, I think I'm a content creator. I'm on a motorcycle and I own the road. I have a camera. So I'm recording this. It's important. and you just fucked up my ride. And it's like, no, dude, like, why are you wasting your time? My mentality when I try to ride, water, be fucking water. Find your line, find your flow, go, move around shit, move around obstacles. Do not fixate on something that is no longer a factor. If somebody almost cut you off and you're already a car length ahead of them, good. I'm not going to flip them off. I'm ahead of them. Why do I need to flip them off? They're stuck in traffic, not me. So I don't know. It was kind of my low seeing that it's 2024 and there's still people out there that are like micro dick influencers that fixate on somebody causing them a mild inconvenience where nobody got hurt, nothing bad happened, and you're still living. But to them, because, hey, bro, first of all, I have a camera. To them, that entitles them to be right, to be an asshole. I don't know.
So to play off what you just said, micro dick influencers, I actually play into the fact that I am a macro dick influencer. I call things out all the time. I make fun of everything. I don't really care. All of it's jokes, dude. If you take social media seriously, yeah, you are a clown.
Yeah.
Oh my God, dude. Some of these people dick ride like it's a job.
It is a job.
Is it? This person has a 9-to-5 job. It's not their job yet. They're fucking peddling around work just like everybody else that's listening to this podcast. They're not paid and laid and set for life.
Hmm. How about you, Mike? Do you have any highs or lows?
My high for the week is that I've got two highs. I've got the camp out, and I am so excited for Putters and Pistons. You guys have no idea. I'm going to putt and piston at the same time. I'm just super stoked. This is a big deal for me, and I this is my first event. You know, it's not to the same scale as a camp out. It doesn't cost me really anything to throw it. I bought a couple of golf clubs, some John Daly pants. You know,
caddy hat, like one of those little cabbie hats. That, you know what I mean?
What's that golfing show? That golfing game show thing right now?
The mini golf show. I literally was watching it the other day.
I'm gonna try to get it.
Yeah, but no, I got some John Daly pants. I got some putters. It's going to be a good time. We're all going to have a good time, and I'm excited to host this.
And it's one at 6:30. Is going to be 6:30. Holy moly. It's at 6:30 because the flyer is kind of hard to read the little time. It's at 6:30, not 8:30.
Yeah, 6:30. If you have eyes of an old woman, let me help you guys with that. It's 6:30, not 8:30. Two people have told me it's 8:30.
It does look like 8.
6:30. It does not look like 8.
I know people don't golf at 8:30, but I'm just saying, yeah.
It's going to be a good time. I'm excited to share this with everybody. I'm upset that Wong can't make it. He's choosing a cruise in the Bahamas over me, and it will be noted.
I feel bad for that.
That's my love.
It's your first thing that you're putting out. But I will say this, I'm happy that it inspired you to do something, and I hope you keep doing it, dude. I know we talked about, I gave you my schedule of what I'm trying to do for the events, for like the Harleys and Hatchets, the campouts, the biker bonfires. There's space in between there that we both know, and we talked about for doing poker runs. So I'm excited to see what we end up doing after this. So hell yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. I'm very excited. I'm happy, guys. This is a good time.
Yeah.
I have nothing more to add, and I'm not going to read out of the Anarchist Cookbook today. instead, I am going to read an excerpt from one of my favorite books. Oh. But before we do that, I would like everybody else to, you know, kind of give their closing thoughts.
I'll close the show out with our little thingamajig when you're done with reading from the Bible, Mike.
No, keep going.
You want me to do our little spiel? No, I'm going to do the closing.
Yeah, go ahead, and then I'll
read you, want me to do
you
it?
Guys
okay.
a closing excerpt.
All right, let's see if I can do this. Okay, so you guys can find this. Creative Writing is available on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Google Play, TuneIn, Spotify, etc. Leave the show a rating and review on your favorite podcast app. You can find me, Kim, at Dawson's Freak on IG, and you can find Mike at...
619 Mike T or 619 Mike Media.
And you can find
on Instagram.
Juan, where can we find you at?
You can find me on Facebook as The Raccoon King. You can find me on Instagram as Raccoon King Moto. You can find me on Google because you can book me to go do axe throwing at your divorce, birthday party, wedding, anniversary, what have you. I'll throw an axe at it. It doesn't matter. Yeah, no, and thank you guys again for having me. This is I've hosted podcasts before. This is my first time being a guest on a podcast, and it was pretty freaking nice.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. You can also check out our blog at creative-writing.com, or you can contact the show at our email, creativewritingpodcast@gmail.com. And I'm not going to read all this other dumb shit that Junkie has at the end of our little thing. There's something about a Zazzle.com store. I think that's like some arts and crafts. I don't know.
Hey, I was going to ask about the Patreon, actually.
Oh, do you want to know about the Patreon?
We have tiers for it. Am I able to donate at my own tier or at my own will, or do I have to like cough up a certain amount of money?
I know we do have different tiers. I haven't personally checked them out because I'm trying to still just get my own Kim tier for the $69 a month, but Junkie won't put it up there for me. So, but we do have tiers that you can check out at patreon.com/creativewriting.
Okay. Okay. So there is no like contribute once tier or contribute.
Why are you asking me these questions, Juan? Just contribute.
Like I don't.
There are. Sorry, I'm a shitty co-host. Okay. I don't know.
I give to animal charities, and that's about it. But I think I deeply appreciate the advertising and the mentions that you guys have given me for my events. So I wanted to see if there was a level that I could contribute at.
Yeah, there are different levels. I know, I just don't remember them all at the right now.
Right on.
Yeah, I'm at honestly, I don't know.
Yeah.
So,
all right, Mike.
Guys, I would like to read from it's a great document written by Ted Kaczynski. So this is Article 11 of his manifesto, if you will. Some will call it a manifesto. I call it a work of art. Article 11. When someone interprets as derogatory almost anything that is said about him or groups with whom he identifies, we conclude that he has inferiority feelings or low self-esteem. The tendency is pronounced among minority activists, rights activists. I can't even finish this. I went to the racist part of the Unabomber manifesto.
All right, I gotta pee. Are we Junkie done?
Junkie will fade out on that. So
I'll give my closing thoughts. Don't be a chump with a camera. Just be water and flow through traffic.
Oh yeah, yeah. All right. Well, thanks.
Or follow them home and kill their family. All right,
you guys all have a good weekend. I'll talk to you all when I get back from Arizona.
Ride safe tomorrow.
I'll try. I got these pants to keep me warm. Okay.
Bye.
All right. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Bye.
Adios.
Do I just close it now? Am I the only one left?